Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. This week's program is part two in a book review of John Daniel Davison's new book, Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. Davison is a senior editor at the conservative think tank magazine, The Federalist. The reason for taking two programs to discuss the theme and the content of this book is because it explains the culture war. It explains the battle that has been raging since Satan fell from heaven. Who is God? God or man and Satan? Does the creation have the right to live autonomous from God? Is their own gods? Determining their own morality and reality? Or must all things be in obedience to God for the universe to be right? Davison, in his book, Pagan America, makes the case, with many factual examples and quotes, that without God, society descends into depravity. Murder, theft, mutilation, slavery, totalitarianism, sexual deviance. Society descends into gross abominations. Because as Christians believe, mankind is by nature sinful. And if there's no God, all things are permissible. Which is a quote from Dostoevsky. Or to quote the Bible itself, Psalm chapter 53. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable injustices or iniquity. There is no one who does good. God looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there is anyone who understands, who seeks after God. Every one of them has turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. So notice the connection. They say there is no God, and the ensuing lifestyle is they do abominable injustices. And Davison chronicles this reality in America, the murder of babies, the rise of euthanasia, the physical mutilation and castration of young men and women in order to pursue gender rebellion, the persecution of the righteous, and the violation of God-given human rights. These are the natural consequences of a godless pagan philosophy that morality is a function of what affirms man's pleasure and desires. Davison, and all conservative Christian commentators for that matter, are fulfilling the role of God's prophet to this generation. As the prophet Jeremiah made the people aware of their national sins, sins that the people were taking for granted, Jeremiah 7:17, "Do you not see what they're doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem?" Or the word of God to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 58, "Cry aloud and do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgressions and to the house of Jacob their sins." Now what about the New Testament? The Apostle Paul instructs the Christians in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." And for what purpose? Well, ultimately, to show that God is right concerning his assessment of man and Satan. That Satan is a destroyer. That he is the thief that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. John chapter 10. As we read in Psalm 51, verse 4. "So that God is justified, or shown to be right, when he speaks, and he's blameless when he judges the world, because man and Satan have shown themselves to be evil." David wrote this prayer of repentance, Psalm 51, because he was acknowledging that God was right. He was the sinner. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he had her husband killed. David couldn't make the case for the righteousness of his own autonomy from God. This book, Pagan America, and, you know, commentaries and articles on conservative sites are actually apologetics for the Christian faith. See, we told you this would happen, and here it is. Now will you believe God and turn from your sin? Any conservative commentary that doesn't have that as its end goal is useless. I mean, we should never report on social evils or write a book about social evils out of pride or self-righteousness or because we have a morbid interest in evil or to create clickbait to get money or attention from the moral conservatives in America. The purpose should always be apologetics, proof for the Christian faith. Just like the prophet John and Jesus pointed out the sins of the people and the coming consequences to call people to belief and repentance. Now, I don't know about you, but it was the sin I saw in myself and in the culture that became for me the proof for the Bible and led me to my need for Christ. So let's keep this in mind when we talk to others about the culture. Let's make sure our goal is an apologetic for the truth of God. God must be God, otherwise all hell will break out. Now, last week I mentioned that, of course, the unsaved world doesn't believe that. A fundamental tenet of humanism, modern paganism, and ultimately Satanism, is that God is the oppressor. He is stealing from man freedom and knowledge and joy. And mankind can live just fine without God, even better. And lo and behold, my point was proven by a YouTube listener who responded with a 900-word rant in the comment section. Apparently, this man is on a crusade against John Daniel Davison. So he watched some of my commentary on Davison's book. He said he only listened to a quarter of it and said all I spoke was propaganda, open lies. Very unchristian of you. Good day. And to quote him, he said, every video I see John Daniel Davison in, I go point by point and publicly state how he is openly lying, making things up, and doesn't actually know what he's talking about. And this guy's point is that Christianity and religion are actually a negative, that the God hypothesis is oppression, and America was not founded as a Christian nation. And this is exactly what I explained in my YouTube. This is the new humanistic view. And this commenter proved the very point I was making. I said last week in my YouTube that the underlying thesis in Davison's book, Pagan America, is the big controversy. Because pagan intellectuals today believe America can survive and human rights can be maintained very well without Christianity. That human rights in our Constitution will still hold, even if we lose the Christian consensus, and human rights will still hold having a secular requirement for government, but that is the lie. I explained that modern pagans claim the opposite of Davison and the whole Christian argument, instead crediting all of the good in America as they define it as flowing not from Christianity, but from the secular enlightenment. And I explained how university professors today teach that society would be further along in prosperity and science and in a fair society if it weren't for Christianity. That Christianity has been a ball and a chain. And there is a secular utopia coming of diversity, equity, inclusion if we can just rid ourselves of the oppression of Christian morality and Christian economic principles. So in the comment section, this guy went on to make the case for the pagan view I just explained. Let me address this for a moment because we're going to run into these people. He quoted James Madison, who is one of the major writers of the Constitution. And Madison wrote in a letter, quote, that religious bondage shackles and debilitates the mind and unfits it for every noble enterprise. And also, quote, history, I believe, furnishes no example of a priest-ridden people maintaining a free civil government. This marks the lowest grade of ignorance, of which their civil as well as their religious leaders will always avail themselves for their own purposes. But on the contrary, James Madison also wrote, morality and religion are the best foundations of national happiness. And he wrote, it's a duty of every man to render to the Creator homage Before any man can be considered as a member of a civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe. And Madison also wrote, "We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of each person to govern themselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." End quote. The belief in a God, all-powerful and wise and good, is so essential to the moral order of the world and to the happiness of man. So James Madison's basic worldview is identical to that of John Davison and his book, Pagan America. But what this commenter did, and what other atheists do, and what people for the American Way do, and Media Matters do, and the whole secular left, is handpick a few quotes out of context that makes it seem like our founding fathers wanted America to be free from religion. But in those quotes from James Madison, he referenced, quote, "Religious bondage shackles and debilitates the mind and unfits it for every noble enterprise." Madison was speaking about false religion. Religion that brings people into evil, unrighteous political bondage, totalitarianism. The founders recognized that there is good moral government control and evil government control. And there are evil religions, which are wrong, and then there's the true religion. Madison was actually referring to the corruption within the European papal religion of that day. You know, Christianity never makes a claim that all religions are good. In fact, it makes a claim that part of paganism is creating false religions to worship the Baals, the demonic gods, which sanction human autonomy and the violation of God's law. So I just wanted to point this out regarding humanist revisions of American history in their attempt to claim that America was founded to be a secular nation and that religion or any law based upon the law of nature and nature's God should have no place in America. Now, I hope you understand the reason for this debate concerning the founding of America, what's really behind it, or rather what's really driving the debate. It has to do with land rights. Follow the reasoning here. If Christians believe that the nation must follow the moral law of God, a society that doesn't permit homosexual marriage, or abortion, or transgenderism, or economic theft, and on the contrary, if pagans believe in a pluralistic society permitting all in the name of freedom, like Sodom and Gomorrah, then let's just separate. Let's do an experiment. You pagans take half the country, and we Christians will take the other half. And we'll see in 100 years how both countries do. Now, of course, you see the problem in that, because many people would have to move. Evil's parasitic. It has to live off the good. And as even Davison writes in his book, the left will not want to live in the very country they're trying to create. And we see this as leftists want to move to red states. So since physical separation is impractical for now, the argument comes down to who is here first. If anyone has to leave, who should it be? Who has really deviated from the social contract we made 237 years ago. And this is actually the underlying reason for this debate over the intent of the founding fathers. You know, along with secularists trying to make their apologetic case that godless secularism produces blessing and greatness. Now, by the way, there will eventually come a separation between the righteous and the unrighteous. It does happen politically at times, but its ultimate fulfillment will be Judgment Day. You know, Matthew 25, when God separates between the sheep and the goats. But for now, keep in mind that the church's primary purpose is not to separate to create a pure society, but to mix and mingle to recruit people for the kingdom of Christ through evangelism. Now I say primary purpose. There may be times where separation in this present age may be necessary for the purpose of maintaining evangelism. Like when the Puritans came to America to escape religious persecution in Europe. Now, I'm getting far afield here from the book review. But again, I'm referring to this book and to the issues it brings up as a springboard to address these bigger issues. Now, one more point I want to make before we discuss more of the content of Davison's book. In reading through the book this week, it directed me to think about the bigger arguments, these foundational atheistic pagan claims. As in Job 21, they say to God, "Depart from us. We do not even desire the knowledge of your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what would we gain if we seek him?" Also, Job 22:17, they say to God, "Depart from us. And what can the Almighty do to them?" And Psalm 73:11, they say, "How does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High?" Now, in regard to the claims of paganism, that mankind can and should live autonomous from God, and to help this argument, they convince themselves there is no God. This belief is Satan's original claim. And his goal is to get mankind on his side in his claims against God's authority. Like Satan, unbelievers imagine that if God would just get out of the way and leave man alone, we would do quite well. Satan and the spiritual beings in rebellion to God would work with us and give us advanced knowledge, so that our bodies would not die, and together with Satan, we could have our own peaceful dominion, where everyone is affirmed and supported, and there's no judgmentalism, no condemnation. Now, of course, only those fully initiated unbelievers understand the full extent of this goal and what's really going on. Only those fully in the know recognize that there is a personal devil and that they want to be on his side. You know, in their words, they would rather reign in hell than be slaves in heaven. But of course, the majority of unbelievers don't recognize the reality of these fallen spiritual beings. They think we're alone in the universe. But nevertheless, like Satan himself, an autonomous humanity is their goal, self-realization. But here's my point. And this is what we need to tell the world, even as Jesus told the world. Living independently of God will not result in a wonderful life. You'll be trapped in your sin for all eternity, and you will go further and further into twisted depravities because you're unconnected from a holy God. And we see this decline into depravity happening in the lives of unsaved people, even here on earth. And Satan, once he gets mankind on his side, he will kill you. He's not interested in you. He doesn't have love for you. He's the embodiment of pure hate. He just wants to degrade you so he can laugh at God, so that he can get those who are made in the image of God to violate God's law and twist the image of God. And if he's able, he will delight in torturing you for all eternity. He wants you in hell with him. If he can't be free, nobody can be free. And let's set aside Satan himself for a moment. If mankind rules, and if mankind gets his way, it will also result in slavery, pain, death, and torture. But I know the arguments of unbelievers. They will say, well, doesn't God also send people to hell? Yes, but God is righteous, and it's evil he must stop and punish. It's evil that he will not let to continue. It's like a father who protects his children and having to kill those who come to destroy his family. Yes, he's practicing vengeance, but it's vengeance against evil. And there is no moral equivalency between the actions of the righteous father and the wicked actions of the evil persecutors who seek to kill the righteous. It all comes down to the basic question, who is the evil one? God or Satan? So have you ever thought about these things? Well, you should, because in order to rightly decide whose team you're going to be on, you should know the teams. Now, notice that when the average person comes to Christ and believes, they come to Christ because they realize they have messed up their own lives by doing their own thing. So like the prodigal son, they return to the home of the father. But the bigger picture is not just about the well-being of your own personal life. but who is worthy to rule the universe. Now, in the few minutes I have left, let's go through some of the chapters in Davison's book, Pagan America, and I'll have to finish this up in my extended YouTube version of this program. The introduction, called The New Dark Age. Here, Davison puts forth the main thesis of the book and God's argument that a nation's abandonment of God will result in totalitarianism and a violation of human rights. You can't pull out the roots and still expect to have the flower. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, the wicked will return to the grave, will return to death, will return to hell, even all nations who forget God. Of course, Davison doesn't reference that verse or many of the other Bible verses that confirm what Davison is saying, but we can supply them. Chapter 1, entitled The Long, Slow Death of Paganism. And in this chapter, Davison describes Europe's ancient paganism before Christianity changed the world. Again, the contention of humanists is that ancient paganism was just fine before Christianity came along and ruined all of our peace and happiness. But no, ancient paganism was superstitious, anti-science, cruel, oppressive. It's not God's law that's oppression, but man's law, when man is in charge. So in this chapter, Davison reviews the practices of the Romans, the Aztecs, the Germanic tribes. And Davison gets very biblical in this chapter in his understanding of how the ancients worshiped demons. Chapter 2, entitled The City Set on a Hill. And here Davison explains the Christian founding and the foundation of America, the pilgrims being religious refugees. They didn't come to America for libertarian freedom, freedom to do your own thing. They came to practice righteousness and true Christianity. In early America, you had to be a Christian to hold office. And George Washington, quote, "The duty of all nations is to acknowledge God." We've really fallen from that belief. And in this chapter, Davison goes on to explain how this all morphed into a new political ideology of separation of God and state. That the state must be secular so that people are not coerced. Freedom of conscience justified individual moral autonomy. And this change happened in the 20th century when religion became a private endeavor, and that truth revealed by God, religious truth, was considered totally subjective and a matter of personal conviction. In short, what Davison is explaining is what the Bible calls unbelief. The people no longer believe God's word was true and authoritative. When you don't believe God's word is true and you don't believe in the inspiration of Scripture, you turn to man. And that was our undoing. Chapter 3 is entitled, How Christian America Unraveled, which is more details concerning the change in ideology and the change in legal rulings that turned America from a Christian nation into a pagan state. I'm out of time. The book I'm reviewing is John Davison's Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. It's a good resource. It gives plenty of anecdotal evidence of the great apostasy, the great rebellion against God that's happening in the world, the rise of the Antichrist spirit. And in this, the book validates and builds our faith in biblical prophecy because Jesus told us all these things would come to pass. Thanks for listening. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs, or to get all of the YouTube links to my channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition, is at the website godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Keep seeking after God's truth. Keep standing firm in the truth. And may Jesus Christ reign.